Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Malzy becomes a dad again tomorrow. I have a $10,000 bet going with Dunlap, but I only have to risk $100. 2.5 years to bowl a perfect game. After a 2-year hiatus, I bowled in the 220s on Friday with 6 straight strikes. So we are calling on all bowling coaches, all local bowling alleys who are willing to help me achieve the coveted perfect game, and I'll cut you in on it. I get 10 grand, so you're willing to help me out. If you're willing to give me a helping hand, I'll split it.
Would you like to put a stipulation out right now?
I'll give a bowling coach $5,000.
That Dunlap's not allowed to try to pay you in some absurd small denomination?
I don't think he'd do that. That would go against the spirit of the bet. I think less of him if he did it that way.
Will he try to pay it with a check like you once did when you lost a bet?
I would prefer that he pays it as a check.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want someone, I don't want
a brick of cash. Just a nice brick of $10,000? You wouldn't want that? I think that would be cooler.
I don't
want to
be mugged. No, someone knows I got $10,000 in my pocket. Someone's liable to knock me out and take it from me.
Well, if people haven't done that because of your takes, they're not going to do it now.
Well, that's just some of the stuff we're talking about today. We have lists. We have some lists going on right now to talk about. It's list season.
S-Z-N.
When people in our field, sports media people, NFL media, they put lists together to pass the time. For example, Pro Football Focus says that the Steelers have the 22nd ranked roster in the NFL.
22nd?
That they have a bottom half roster.
It's almost a bottom third roster.
With TJ Watt, with
Mika.
Actually,
it is a bottom third roster.
Yep, 22nd.
That doesn't square with me because the defense is half your roster. They have on paper a ton of defensive talent. I know PFF loves edge rushers, corners, quarterbacks, and what, tackles? And wide receivers. Okay, their wide receivers are underwhelming compared to other teams. Fine.
Really here, all they're saying, I'm looking at the recap.
Come on.
On ESPN's website, they posted this Pro Football Focus story. 22nd roster. They pretty much say the only things on the Steelers that they like are Hayward and Watt. That's
it. Like Minka, yeah.
Hayward and Watt. Biggest weakness, offensive line.
Okay.
Don't trust the moves the Steelers made on their offensive line. Don't trust that they're going to get good quarterback play this year. Don't really know about their secondary with Joe Hayden gone. And the changes that they made at corner. So they're really saying outside of Watt.
And Hayward.
The entire roster is a mystery. It's two guys. It's Spawn Spain. And a bunch of question marks, Malzy. 51 question marks.
That's a little different than Kevin Colbert's one adult and 52 kids. But not by much. I disagree with them.
So who are the sure things on their roster besides Hayward and Watt?
I do think Minka's a sure thing.
But we learned last year that he's not when the guys in the front seven ahead of him.
I'm betting on the front seven not cratering. Are you saying sure thing like we know like the health of these guys?
No, sure thing like you know what you're going to get from the player.
I think I know what I'm going to get from Alu-Alu.
You do?
Yeah, I think he's going to be solid, rock solid. I think I know what I'm going to get from Miles Jack, which is an improvement over Joe Schobert. I think I know what I'm going to get by and large from Alex Highsmith. Good, but not great. And I think I know what I'm going to get from Terrell Edmunds. That's not necessarily a good thing in his case. He's going to be there.
I'm shocked to hear you say that about Highsmith. Because what you just said about Highsmith makes it sound like Malzi doesn't think that there's the potential there for him to make a big jump. You're saying, he's just kind of a guy who's decent and he plays opposite TJ Watt.
8 or 9 sacks is good in my mind.
I would expect way more than that.
From Highsmith?
Yeah.
What's he going to get, like 15?
I mean, when James Harrison was really cooking and winning Defensive Player of the Year awards, that allowed for Woodley to have monster years. And I would expect the same out of Highsmith now that he's a guy going into his third year. That's Woodley, what happened with Dupree when he started to come into his own. He took advantage of playing opposite T.J. Watt. Highsmith Woodley, should be ready to do the same thing.
Woodley was better, quicker. He had 11.5 in year two. I mean, Woodley of his own volition was like a better player than Highsmith. I mean, he was a force of nature, and he could have been the number one guy on multiple teams for that three-year run. I don't know. I just think Highsmith's ceiling is probably good to very good, but not elite. That's not a knock on him either. You've got a truly elite player opposite
you. You phrase that in a way where you think he's not going to really make a jump. What you see is what you get.
Don't you think he made a jump from year one to year two? I thought he was a better player in 2021 than he was in 20.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
it's six sacks.
I'll be honest with you. I think the guy that got traded by the end of the year and based on what he did in Kansas City was better than him.
Oh, now here come the people coming for you, though, because Ingram did not have gaudy sack totals.
Okay.
However, he had 2 sacks last year, one with Kansas City and one with the Steelers.
Right. I watched him play. I thought he was still better than Highsmith.
Well, that's because you're an educated man who knows that sacks are not everything. He was putting pressure on the quarterback with regularity.
It seems low, 22nd ranked roster for the Steelers.
Hold on. You said their defense. I know where you're going to go here, or I have a good idea. You said their defense should be the best defense in the league, or top three, I think, at worst.
Well, it better be.
You can't possibly think that they're the 22nd overall roster if you have that level of expectation for their defense. Unless you think their offense is going to be complete dog vomit, which I know you don't because you believe in Kenny just the same way I do.
Well, but that's also incumbent on them playing him.
But you believe in Tomlin, who's picked him.
Actually, no, time out. It doesn't mean that. Because the whole point of this exercise is you don't just look at, for example, the Bengals did not have the second best team in the NFL last year, but they had a quarterback that got that team up to that level.
He elevated the roster.
Right.
Force multiplier.
So this whole exercise is not just about a quarterback. It's not just ranking the 32 teams from best team to worst team. It's what their roster is. It's taking into account the whole roster. Leaving schedule out, leaving like the quarterback being 10 times more important than everybody else on the roster. It's just taking
into
account.
So the Browns have to rank a lot higher than the Steelers then.
They do, yeah. Every AFC North team does.
Okay, give me the AFC North team rankings then, the roster rankings.
Okay,
the Steelers are 22nd.
The Browns are 6th.
Where are the Bengals?
Below the Browns. The Browns on paper position, the Bengals are 8th. Ravens. And the Ravens are 12th.
You know who else is getting dogged here a little bit? Najee Harris. Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, I agree. But those guys, both of them, I think gave you reasons to be optimistic about them getting better in 2022. Freiermuth, more playing time, more opportunities to be a weapon in their offense. You know, a quarterback that's going to be more willing to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Najee Harris, play action more involved, go to the tight end on those plays. Harris, you know, offensive line has to get better. Body change, you know, more athletic because of the extra year of building yourself up for a NFL season, not a college season. Like, I think you can speak in glowing terms about how they're going to make improvements, those guys, but
It's a damning indictment of two things. Their offensive line and I think some of their age and holes on defense. Like holes in terms of average or slightly below average players who people here think are going to get overshadowed by star level play. That's how I look at it.
The Bills have Josh Allen in Diggs, in Davis, in Crowder, and these guys where you go up and down their lineup, not just quarterback, but you even go up and down their defense, and it's like, okay, I have an idea of what to expect from this guy.
What's New England's roster ranked?
New England is 18th.
All right. I was going to say, if they were a lot higher than the Steelers, I would have major reservations about the methodology here, because I don't think they're a great roster.
I just don't think it's that hard to say things like their offensive line is different, but it's not necessarily better.
I agree with that sentiment.
Two out of their three wide receivers, one is a rookie, and the other is a guy who took a step back in his second year.
Very thin.
The quarterback, who knows? The running
back. No, we know. We feel good about
Kevin. Okay. Hayward, yes. We don't know what Ogunjobi's status is health-wise. Same can be said about Alualu coming back from a big ankle injury. Watt's a monster. Highsmith, you're saying, kind of is what he is. Jack is coming off.
But I said he's a good player.
Okay. Jack is coming off a bad year.
For a horrible team and a joke of a coach.
Well, that's what he's out to prove this year, that it was the environment in Jacksonville and not the player. I think it was the environment, but...
Well, then you would be inclined to disagree a little bit with this ranking, which I think you do. Where would you rank them?
I think they're a little bit closer to the middle.
Would you put them at like, if I said the Steelers have the 16th best roster in the league?
That sounds about right to me.
Okay, so pretty much average, medium bowl of porridge. Do you think that their methodology is correct to have the Browns ahead of the Bengals and the Ravens? Because they're probably going to have a worse record than both of those teams because their quarterback's not going to play.
Well, definitely the Bengals. The gap between Jacoby Brissett and Burrow is just like Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. There's just no competition.
I mean, it does say something for their methodology that they refuse to put the Bengals any higher. That would support your thesis here that it's not just ranking the quarterback.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kenny Pickett is Joe Burrow. Comparisons are being made today. This comes from a personal quarterback's coach. That's coming up at 5. Malzi is going to be a dad again. That's tomorrow at 5.
What, that's going to be talked about tomorrow at 5?
I just figure it's by 5 tomorrow, right?
There will be a baby by 5 tomorrow unless there is a run on emergency C-sections at the hospital. You know, you asked Alex to send me or send you a video of Lennox saying hello, pony, yesterday. You got more than you bargained for. Didn't you get like 4 different versions of it from him?
Well, didn't you say he's been walking around your house muttering like a crazy person, hello, pony, hello, pony, hello, pony, everywhere he goes?
Every so often, he got on a carrier, hello, pony.
Donnie had a successful third date, miniature golfing, so he's still on a high.
And don't wait, you already know, you felt good enough about it, it went well enough, there will be date number 4.
There will.
And I made a bet with Dunlap that is going to net me $10,000 if I can bowl a perfect game in the next 2.5 years. And we do have some bowling alleys, and we do have some local accomplished bowlers who are willing to lend a helping hand, who believe in me. An accomplished bowler texted me and said, I've seen your form at a local bowling alley before. I think with time and practice, it can be done.
Donnie, can you get any kind of a true sense of how big the pop's going to be? If we're there watching our guy cheering him on, the tension, you could cut it with a knife. 9 strikes, 10 strikes, 11 strikes, and then he finishes out. You and I are going to rush him like at the end of Rocky IV when the whole ring fills with Soviets cheering on Rocky.
Well, I told him during a break, you might have stepped out, that we have to have Ben Tenuta, our award-winning.
The award-winning Ben Tenuta.
Ben Tenuta.
Videographer.
He has to be there for the moment.
Will.
And then he can make a montage just like Kingpin. Pony's hair flailing in the wind.
Are you
it comes bowl? Down to the final frame.
Are you going to bowl with a clear ball with a rose in it?
No, I am going to use the alley balls, and I'm going to use the alley shoes.
Blue-collar guy. If you
I believe in supporting those places. I'm going to give them the fee that comes with using their equipment because I think they've earned that and deserve that.
If you do it, do you want me and Donnie to carry you off on our shoulders, to pick you up like a victorious Super Bowl winning coach and carry you off the lane?
I'm not in this for the accolades, guys.
You're in it for the money.
I'm in it because I want to be an example of the human spirit. That when you put your mind to something and you commit to something, that regardless of where you are in life, you can do it.
Like, you want to be a beacon of inspiration to people who might be down, who might be thinking, I can't do this. It's too much. And you want to say, you can do this.
I want
enough.
Somebody out there, when the chips are down, to say, if Andrew Filippone can bowl a perfect game
and take $10,000 from Colin Dunlap,
then I can do this. Yep. Josh Rountree is now, I believe, if I was listening closely enough at today's award ceremony, you're now in the Pennsylvania Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Is that what that is? I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm on vacation.
Oh.
But if so, I hope that there's a jacket or something.
Well, this is why you are in the Hall of Fame, because even when you're technically on vacation,
you're still working.
You still, yeah.
Yeah, you exactly. And Hathorn got an award, and you guys weren't, you were the only people there not there to claim it. But congratulations on all your success.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Andy Lindbergh did a great job filling in and saying some nice words.
You can now start every report for us when you come on the air with, as an award-winning reporter.
Boom.
And then go on to make your point.
Just like for a long time, I could do that with Penguins.
Hold on here. I was already an award-winning reporter.
You what?
Yeah, man. I just don't brag about my success.
Well, take this time to brag. How many awards had you won prior to this?
This was number 2. The other one was actually a national award for my work with the Associated Press's radio division. I was their AP Contributor of the Year in 2020.
He's won more awards than anyone in the station's history.
I think so. How many do you have? You have one, right?
I have one.
I have 0. Donnie, how many do you have?
None. 0.
Okay. Josh, you didn't want to brag on yourself. That's laudable. But this show is always looking for extra gravitas, and we needed to know when you won the first award that it had happened so we could introduce you as such every time.
We've been selling you short for years on this station and paying you that way, too.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, now it can be a two-time award-winning reporter, and it's going to sound even better going forward.
Oh, and onward and upward.
We had somebody on the station today who's worked with quarterbacks compare Kenny Pickett to Joe Burrow. When you were watching the Steelers early in this offseason, did you see Burrow qualities in Kenny Pickett, award-winning reporter Josh Rountree?
Well, I think there's a natural kind of comparison there. I mean, there's some similarities there for sure. I mean, I think Pickett's a little bit more of a mobile threat, to be honest, than Burrow. Not that Burrow has bad wheels. I mean, he can take off and run for sure, and I think that's where some people do draw some comparisons. Pickett's a little bit bigger. I think Burrow maybe throws the ball a little bit better right now, at least, and we'll see maybe how that develops with Kenny as time goes on. But I think that's a pretty fair comparison. I also look at Pickett as well. I kind of think of like a Derek Carr just from his stature. But maybe somewhere between those two guys is kind of where Pickett falls. Like, I would say that he's kind of like the love child of Derek Carr and Joe Burrow, which isn't so bad of a thing.
No, I mean, it's not. I'm turned on by that.
Isn't like Derek Carr, the difference between Derek Carr and Burrow, this is for both of you, isn't it really just one guy has had success in the postseason now? I mean, obviously Carr has been around longer and has done maybe less, but they're very similar guys when they're both going well. They can win a game for you by themselves. Burrow's just gotten a team to a Super Bowl. I think he's obviously better than Carr.
And both of those guys weren't made to wait. If you think you have a love child of Joe Burrow and Derek Carr, you don't play a Mitch Trubisky over that guy, Josh.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But I think the question with Pickett's going to be how fast can he truly become that guy? You know, he might not be that guy right now. And I mean, look, the Steelers had him take the third string reps. I told you guys back in what, OTAs, that during minicamp I expected Pickett to get a pretty good run with the twos, and it didn't happen. And I was pretty surprised by that.
And but, not only were you surprised, it sounded like you were, if you were a Steelers fan, and sometimes as a journalist, you have to put yourself, in order to tell the story, in the shoes of the fan. You have to be the conduit for the fan. And it sounded like you were almost bothered by that, Josh. There was a visceral reaction in you when you said, guys, I don't understand why Rudolph is still getting reps ahead of this guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because why are we wasting people's time here? Like, I believe in not wasting people's time. And to me, constantly running Mason Rudolph out there with the twos is a waste of time. It is a waste of Mason Rudolph's time. Well, maybe not a full waste of his time because he's maybe just getting some extra work with some better players, but it's certainly a waste of time with Kenny Pickett. I mean, don't you want the guy that you think is going to be the future of your franchise, the future quarterback of this franchise, to play with the very best players or at least the second string players? You know, I mean, he could get some run with George Pickens, with Calvin Austin III, guys that you hope that he'll be throwing the football to for a long time. And he really didn't get, to me, that many opportunities. I mean, there were some because they do blend some things here and there. But for the most part, you know, the rotation was what it was. And that was Trubisky, Rudolph, and Pickett. And I don't get that. To me, it's a waste of Kenny Pickett's time. It's a waste of his talents. And to me, I don't understand why that was their method in this offseason. But I think hopefully as we get into training camp, Pickett gets some more opportunities because he might need it. I mean, look, I still don't think that Mason Rudolph is going to be on this team, though. I do start to wonder now maybe a little bit more if that reality could happen where they do just decide to keep him if there's not a trade market and that Pickett be the third string. But to me, that doesn't.
No, Josh, do me a big favor, man. Don't even say that. Don't even bring up the possibility that you speak it into existence. Please.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Pony's really getting it right here. Oh, no. Don't do that. Please. We're begging you.
I mean, look, I'm just telling you guys what I see. And I see a guy that's taking a bunch of second string reps. And, you know, if they are thinking that they're going to slow play Pickett and they're not fully comfortable with him starting football games and they don't know exactly what they have with Mitch Trubisky, I don't like it either, but I do start to wonder if it's maybe a somewhat of an option for them that if they don't have a trade for Mason Rudolph, there's really no incentive to get rid of him and unless they do. So I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think somebody eventually is going to, you know, pull the trigger on giving up at least, you know, a 6th-round pick or something, 7th-round pick for Mason Rudolph. But To me, again, like I just don't, I don't think a three quarterback system. And Bill Cowher said this. I think you guys played a lot of that, you know, a few weeks ago. That two quarterbacks is fine. Three quarterbacks, that's a crowd, and I think it's going to be a crowd when we get to training camp. And I think if Mason Rudolph is getting second team snaps over Kenny Pickett, it slows Pickett's development, and that's not what you can have if you're the Steelers.
Josh Pickett keeps talking about how he has to continue to get better at learning quickly, and he always talked about all those installs during OTAs and minicamp. When you're watching practice, how can you tell which quarterback has a better handle on installs and on the playbook and things like that? How does that even manifest when it's such a controlled and sort of sterile environment?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of those things that Chris is a little bit difficult to tell, just because, you know, they set the way that they set everything up without diving, you know, too deep into it. The way they set everything up, you know, they're showing the plays. They go out, they run the plays. I think with Rudolph, there was just more of a comfortability factor. Like, you could see when he was going in the huddle, he wasn't really learning anything when he was in the huddle. He kind of knew what he was doing. And I think that's why some people came out of OTAs and minicamp with the impression that, you know, maybe Mason Rudolph had the best showing out of all three of those guys. That makes sense to me. I mean, he's a guy that knows the system. I just don't think he's that good of a quarterback. Like, I just don't think that when there's
pressure on
a guy,
that's because you're an award-winning journalist. You have a brain. You're able to
two-time,
process things.
Two-time award-winning journalist. Whoa!
I just don't think when the pressure's on and guys are rushing Mason Rudolph that's when he's any good. I think if he has a clean pocket, then maybe he can make some plays, but that's not the reality of the NFL, and that's certainly not the reality of the Steelers' offensive line. So, to me, yeah, Mason Rudolph looked fine, I thought, in camp, but I wasn't overly impressed with anything that he did. But I wasn't overly impressed with really anything that anybody did in OTAs and minicamp.
Josh, PFF had the Steelers' overall roster ranked 22nd in the NFL. So whole roster, top to bottom, 22nd. They liked Watt. They liked Hayward. They didn't love anything else, really. Is that too harsh, too lenient, or just right in terms of ranking their roster top to bottom?
Well, I think a lot of that probably factors around, they don't really have a certifiable quarterback right now. I mean, if you have a really great quarterback, your roster ranking probably goes up a fairly significant amount just because of the importance of that position. I mean, to me, if they don't like Minkah Fitzpatrick, I don't get that. I mean, I know the PFF has been a little bit hard on him in the past, and I think more so with Minkah. I think his issue last year was that he was having to play basically this hybrid linebacker position because Devin Bush was so dramatically terrible in the run game, as was really everybody else, that he was having to basically play linebacker and make, 116 tackles or whatever it was. It was the most tackles ever made by a defensive back in Steelers history. So that's, I think, if you're judging Minkah Fitzpatrick on that, that's not exactly fair because he wasn't playing to his strength. I think he will be able to play to his strength more this year, and that makes them a heck of a lot better. But look, I mean, there are questions on this team, right? I mean, their offensive line, from left to right, every single position, there's a question mark there. Their defensive line, they have to find some help around Stephon Tuitt, and they have another guy in Tyson Alualu who's coming off a pretty serious injury. Linebacking core, obviously, we all know that. Devin Bush, we'll see what happens there. The corners, how's that all going to shake out? Will Witherspoon be the guy in the second half last year? Will Levi Wallace kind of smooth out his inconsistencies? Can Cam Sutton really lock down a position? I mean, and, you know, you go throughout. I mean, really the only position that I think you're really, really comfortable with is running back, and, you know, maybe tight end receiver because you have some depth there. But yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of question marks around pretty much every position just about on this team. So I kind of get it. I just think if they get good quarterback play, they're going to be a lot better than 20.
Josh Roundtree, the most decorated reporter in 93.7 The Fan history.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Thank you, Josh.
Bye, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Why did Colony get snubbed by the Pennsylvania Broadcasting Association so many times? He's like that old lady who was in all those soap operas who
Susan
never won.
Lucci.
Yeah.
All My Children. Why do I know that? Why can I recall who was nominated for the most Emmys without winning it in soap operas in daytime television?
Colony is the Susan Lucci of The Fan.
But I can't remember basic things that this job requires me to remember. Why?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.